Enough already. When you've had enough of not feeling enough, come here to connect to your knowing that you are more than enough.
Hello, beauties, and welcome to another episode of Enough Already. Enough Already. Can you roll your R's? I do like rolling my R's. It feels fun. And I do like to implement a few things that feel fun in my daily life. What's feeling fun in your daily life right now? What's bringing you some joy? I would love to hear. Pop into my inbox on Instagram, or you can email me at hello@kellybrown.com.au and let me know what's bringing you joy. So we have a little episode today that's a solo ep with me, and I wanted to come and speak to something that felt useful, that felt like a skill or something that we could upskill ourselves on a daily basis so that we can feel a little more integrated, at ease, and perhaps more embodied in our daily life challenges. And so I was sitting here gazing outside the window and I thought, pain, that's a good place to start. Embracing pain. And I thought I could talk to the path that pain offers us in growth and healing, how pain is a gateway to growth and healing. And yet I think so often we are ill-equipped and perhaps avoiding because of feeling ill-equipped and under-resourced in the notion and the experience of pain. It's been suppressed, it's been shunned, it's been denied. We project our pain in order to deflect it and not actually live with it, be with it, and relish in the opportunity that pain can gift us. So welcome. Here we are, understanding pain. So what is pain? Well, pain is that undeniable sense and feeling in the body of disappointment, of jealousy, of anger. So I guess pain is, there's always a yearning or a want or a desire under our pain that isn't met. Pain begins in that unheard feelings or unmet needs, that place where we begin to feel hurt, sad, lonely. And our societal conditioning has us begin to create stories once the pain or hurt or that soft spot, that tenderness, that vulnerability arises. Once that tender spot begins, we want to fix it, deny it, run away from it, rather than actually sitting with it. We'll do anything and everything we can to avoid and suppress. This becomes our cultural way. This becomes our societal way of being, that which we have learned through watching others navigate pain and seeing that it's better to sedate it with addiction or reject it by blame and shame than it is to actually sit with it, sit in it, allow it, embrace it, and take personal responsibility for that which is arising and to see it as an opportunity to stay more committed and discerning on the pathway of growth and healing. So how are you feeling when I bring up this idea of pain? How do you know when you're in pain, feeling disappointment, jealousy, envy, anger, resentment, hurt, comparison, doubt? These are all the beginnings, the seed that wishes to sprout something, some goodness, some opportunity. Imagine tending to these feelings with an awareness that this is an opportunity rather than this is something to dispel or reject, that this is actually an opportunity to learn, unlearn, expand, refine, and grow. Would we be less afraid of pain, less overwhelmed by the idea of it, less consumed by pain if we actually allowed ourselves to experience it? If we were less protective of ourselves feeling pain and those that we love, perhaps we would be able to feel more equipped and more naturally resourced to meet the challenges that pain can stimulate. So understanding pain, what is required for us to really begin to equip ourselves with some skill set, with a reframe or a new lens? I guess the first place I would encourage listeners to go when pain arises is to acknowledge first and foremost that pain is here. I am in pain. I am feeling sad, angry, jealous, powerless. Name and acknowledge. This is the first step of embracing pain and the first step of rewiring our natural response to reject and suppress. And I think this is something that I notice myself doing at different levels and intensity on a daily basis, because it's inevitable that in relationship, we are going to have minor relationship ruptures and upsets throughout our days, whether it be we're behind the wheel in our car and we've got some road rage and we notice, oh, there's some bubbling pain here from my reaction. I'm really reactive today. What's there for me? Acknowledge and name. Or even at times, different times through my cycle, I notice there's a sensitivity or a vulnerability that's arising, which I think, and I've spoken to this before, I think there's a natural cycle in women to kind of have the buildup of those painful things that are existing within us, like an accumulation, like the lining of the womb, building up. And then those couple of days before we release and bleed, it's really important to acknowledge what pain and vulnerability exists, because I think the design is those things that we can no longer tolerate in our lives come up for assessment at that time. And if we're in an environment that allows that assessment, then we can benefit from the opportunity of that kind of cyclical assessment. But most of the time, we're in an environment that rejects it or makes fun of it or blame and shame the agitation, the natural agitation that is arising, you know, a week before we bleed. So there's these natural tools and cyclical skill set that we have that allows us to embrace accumulated pain, to acknowledge it, to name it, to see it, to be with it, and without attaching judgment or story. This is the huge piece that happens when we step into acknowledging and seeing our pain, is can we be with it without needing to assess it or analyze it or attach a story to it? Because that's when we begin to become our emotions, driven by our emotions and driven by our self-righteousness and our and being right, and blaming and shaming and victimhood. That's the feeding ground for living life protected and rejecting pain, rather than actually seeking to see the opportunity within it and to claim personal responsibility of what we are each experiencing when pain arises. And this, as I said, is an opportunity on a daily basis, especially in our intimate relationships. If you're in partnership, you know, the very design of partnership, and I've certainly found in a monogamous long-term relationship, is the accessibility to the opportunity of growth through pain. And I think parenting and bringing children into a relationship, for me personally, in my own marriage, seeing our own childhoods playing out in the way that we parent and actually meeting two separate childhoods together and trying to find equilibrium in our vision for our home and our vision for raising our children and what that actually looks like with the pain that we're already carrying from our own childhoods. It's so interesting, and just how that continually shows up. And especially when the children are at different chapters in their development, I sense that we show up in the pain that was unmet in that period of our development as well. So we become parents of 10-year-olds that are parenting like our hurt 10-year-olds. Does anyone else resonate with that? And so it becomes a really dynamic opportunity for daily growth, depending on, you know, what we were each experiencing, my partner and I, at that chapter in our own childhood, and what was unmet and unheard, and what pain we're still carrying from that chapter. So again, listen to the birdies outside singing. I'm sure you can hear that. And so I really encourage, again, through those daily challenges, to kind of become conscious of the wronging that can exist when we are parenting alongside each other, or when even if these are colleagues and you're creating something in, at work together. And, you know, there are going to be weaknesses and strengths that each of us are carrying. And can we focus more in on the ways that our weaknesses and strengths are opportunities for each of us to become stronger in our own abilities and capacities? And I think the important piece in embracing pain, so we've talked about really naming and acknowledging the pain without judgment and without that alluring analysis that we tend to go to. And then the next important piece is creating safe space. And this has become paramount in my own parenting journey, which I will probably give a lot of talk to in this episode, because I think it's, you know, parenting and pain is such a, it's such a vulnerable and intimate journey. And I feel like they go hand in hand, because it becomes such an express lane way of personal development if you choose it to be so. And you get to learn a lot about your own capacity and a lot about your own unmet needs by being committed to meeting another's. And so this, if you don't have children, can also be relevant for you in relationship, in any of your relationships, that in order to meet others' unmet needs, you first need to be aware of your own. And so the embracing the pain piece, naming and acknowledging, and then being sure that you are offering yourself safe spaces for expression. And that's why I love my work. And I'm so passionate about the group coaching program that I offer, as well as one-on-one spaces, is because of the foundation, the support, the potency that is found in a safe space where you can truly connect to your pain, express your pain, and without blame or shame, without judgment, and to validate, to truly have your pain validated. This becomes the freedom and liberation tool of expansion, and that is validation, really, truly allowing yourself to have that pain, to feel jealous, to feel angry, to feel disappointed, to feel rejected, to feel dismissed, to actually validate that feeling that's arising without having to have someone else pay for it, without needing to blame or shame outside of yourself, to really just say, this is interesting because this is how I'm responding, and really choosing to claim that response. So embracing pain, what's the point? What becomes the point? Well, I really sense that, I'm not sure if you've ever had a really good cathartic cry, or knowing that you need to have a really good cathartic cry. So you've gone and popped on a movie or a particular song and moved your body because you know that stimulates the release. I think the point is to live unshackled and to live with less tension and to live with the capacity of feeling more and experiencing more and being available for more of life. I believe and I think that pain is the precursor to dis-ease. And so if we can and are willing to see that we are feeling bodies, that we are emotional beings, and that the more we move our energy, right, energetic beings, the more we move the energy of pain, the more we embrace it, the more we allow it and validate it, then the more vital we feel, the less full we feel, the less overwhelmed we feel, and the more available we feel to life. So we feel better. And I think so many cultures have this in their diet, which I don't think we do. We're not very conscious of it in the Western diet. We're eating at certain times, and also alongside the food is some sort of digestive, whether it be in Japanese, there's the pickled ginger, there's the sauerkraut and the German food. And then there's also the onsen or the bathhouse that is complementary to detoxifying the system. So we're supporting the system to experience life. And I think that allowing pain and being present with our pain and seeing it as an opportunity is actually lightening our toxic load. It's allowing us to feel more in flow, allowing us to feel more embodied, and offering us a regular digestive with life, allowing us to, you know, have a full evacuation every day, a dumping of sorts. And if we're not regularly doing this or seeing this as accessible, then that is when we begin to feel completely overwrought, overstimulated, and begin to reach for those quick fixes and those oxytocin hits, and cortisol hits a high, and we're easily reactive, volcanic, agitated. There's that low pulse of agitation through our whole lives. Or there's simply a disassociation, complete disassociation, because the pain in our bodies has become so accumulated and overwhelming. So this is the point, right? The point of embracing pain and learning a skill set to navigate pain becomes essential so that we can digest life and we can detoxify and stay vital and energetic in our daily lives. So what are some strategies for navigating pain? Well, we've already spoken to identifying the pain, naming it and acknowledging it without judgment. And what's really important once we've acknowledged it, named it, is to go beneath the pain and actually see the want, you know, the want or the need, the yearning, the longing underneath the pain. Was the yearning for a bid for connection that wasn't met? And then that caused embarrassment, dismissal feelings, feeling of being dismissed, feeling of sadness, a feeling of rejection. But underneath that was actually a deep yearning for greater connection. So what were you wanting that you didn't receive that could have been the precursor to the pain? What were you longing for? What was the deep desire that in some way wasn't met that then caused the pain? In that then supports us to claim and take personal responsibility for the way we're reacting and for our genuine desire underneath the pain that's being caused. Remembering that pain can sometimes happen unintentionally. You'll impact somebody else in a painful way, which might then cause you pain. But remembering that most of the time, you know, I love to believe that most of the time, our pain inflicted on others and the pain that we feel at the hands of others is actually unintentional. The intention was actually good, maybe misguided and unskillfully behaved. But underneath, I believe the basic needs and the basic wants of human beings is good. And it's just better for me to feel like that rather than go into my relationships feeling like everybody's got it out for me. She hates me. It's because, you know, they're a bitch and they don't ever put anyone else before them. They're selfish. Those kind of dialogues and narratives just bog me down even more and have me feel more rejected and more in the blame and shame and victim cycle than just choosing to believe that underneath all pain is a good intention. And it's, although unskillful and unmasterfully applied, the intention was good. So navigating pain, our strategies is to identify the pain and then to identify the underlying want or need behind the pain. And then practicing self-compassion and self-validation. We always have this deep yearning to have that received, you know, to have that seen by others. But unless we are genuinely practicing self-compassion and self-validation, it is really going to be challenging to receive that quality and standard of compassion and validation from others. So we come into this world alone, we leave this world alone, and all the pieces in between are of our own creation. And so can you and can I commit to a daily practice of deep compassion, deep validation of what I am experiencing? What am I experiencing? What would I like to value about what I'm experiencing? What do I love most about how I'm showing up to this? Or can I just simply give myself compassion for the deep, deep pain I'm feeling, for the deep, deep self-doubt that I might be in? Can I just offer myself the hand of compassion? I see you. I see this is hard. I thank you for being willing to truly feel this. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being willing to be messy. Thank you for sitting in the pain. I see your willingness. I see that you're trying. Thank you. So we've identified the pain. We've identified the underlying want or need. We're practicing and drenching ourselves in self-compassion and self-validation. And then if needed, we're seeking support. this becomes a really important skill set to ask for what we need. And if support is key, then create those supportive safe spaces around you from loved ones or professionals where you are regularly tending to your pain, regularly tending to your inner landscape through supportive spaces like working with me. And then once we have identified our pain, the underlying want, we're practicing self-compassion, we're practicing validation, validating ourselves and validating others, and we're in those supportive safe spaces where we're expressing and moving the energy, that is when we begin to feel the benefit of pain. We begin to reframe and actually see that pain is a catalyst for learning, unlearning, and deep personal transformation. And that becomes really liberating, actually. And we spend less time in the pain, actually, and more time in the catalyst of what the pain offered us. We become more refined in those moments of pain and spend more time in the vital growth that happens as a catalyst of the pain. It begins to cultivate resilience. So rather than rejecting pain and not being in pain, thinking that the more we can be independent and the more that we move through it and the more that we can stiff up a lip and keep on going, that's a resilient human being. When actually that's a human being that's so fragile and ready to crack. When if you have been navigating pain and exploring pain with the strategies we just spoke about, you are actually cultivating genuine and sustainable resilience. Resilience that offers you more emotional intelligence. You awaken to your own emotional and energetic intelligence. And so you are more available to experiencing emotions in a safe and expansive way. You are more available for holding and witnessing and tending to others' emotions, for genuinely being available for your children and their emotions, being genuinely available for your partner. And so the quality of your relationships becomes more nutrient dense and more nourishing for you and for them. This is cultivating true resilience. And within this, beginning to look at our own reactions to pain, actually. You know, we talk a lot in the self-development world about self-care, and I think it's been bastardized in so many ways as a marketable tool rather than actually genuinely looking at, if we want to cultivate resilience in our lives, then meeting our own needs, knowing what we value most, becomes really key so that we know what self-care is required for us to be available to our emotional well-being, available to our pain, and available to the relationship, the inevitable relationship upsets and challenges we'll have in our daily life. Feeling resourced. Do you feel resourced in your life? Do you feel nourished? What would have you feel most nourished? So that you are not just combating life and being washed around like in a washing machine with the consistent challenges that you're being faced with, but you actually feel resilient, you feel available to life because you are caring for self through nutrient dense and nourishing practices. And part of this is being conscious of our consumption. In every way, what are you consuming? What are you adding into your life? We talked about the digestive system before, you know, so that your life can digest well and that you have these open detox pathways, these expression pathways. What are you exposing yourself to? What are the environments you're exposing yourself to on a daily basis, especially when you're moving through pain? Are you aware of the quality of your environments? The quality of your home, the quality of the relationships in your home, the quality of safe spaces that are available to you when you're fragile and volatile and vulnerable. What are you consuming on a daily basis? And what do you reach for when you're in pain? Another really great thing to touch upon is, what am I reaching for when I'm in pain? What am I consuming? What is the quality of what I'm consuming? Again, another opportunity, right? We're looking at pain as an opportunity, not as something that we can reject more or suppress more or get the stick out and hit ourselves with more. It's an opportunity to be conscious about what we're consuming in order to look at our own managing tools, our own skill set around managing our pain, so that we're promoting well-being. We're promoting ease of life. We're promoting being available. We're promoting our capacity and our resilience in everyday life. So what are your key takeaways so far in this episode? I encourage you to see embracing pain and navigating pain and cultivating resilience in the face of pain as a natural part of life, and seeing pain as a catalyst for your growth, expansion, and self-awareness. I hope that this episode has inspired you to see the purpose of pain and to see the point of pain and to actually relish in its presence in your life, because in some way it's having you meet an edge, and then to practice these navigational tools in order to keep yourself on the path of growth and healing. Every living day is an opportunity to heal, to expand, to explore, and pain is a vital part of that process. So again, those strategies: identifying pain, acknowledging pain, naming pain, reviewing the underlying wants and needs that are causing the pain. What are you yearning for? What are you longing for? Really validating both of those places, the pain and the yearning. Self-validation, self-compassion, really practicing those pieces, offering yourself that on steroids, so that then you're available to validating and offering compassion to those that you love when they're in pain. And you're not afraid of their pain. You're not rejecting their pain. You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to de-intensify it. You're just simply witnessing and offering them compassion and validation. And then we're seeking support. We're seeking support from loved ones or professionals in a safe and non-judgmental arena. That's also an opportunity for you to review your consumption at this time too. What am I consuming? What are my environments like? Do I have enough conducive environments for me to process my pain, where I can be at peace and safety within this intensity? And then remembering to use pain as an opportunity and a catalyst for learning, unlearning, and deep personal transformation. Remembering all of this is cultivating your deep resilience to be present, more present to your life, more available for your relationships. I'm sending you so much love. I trust you. I see you. You're doing an incredible job at holding and juggling all the pieces that are most important to you. And if you have any feedback, any questions, please jump into my inbox at Callie Coach over at Instagram, or hello@calliebrown.com.au. Thank you so much for being here and listening so attentively and lovingly. And I hope something landed for you, and I'd love to hear if something did. All my love.
Haven't had enough already? Connect with me on Instagram @CalliCoach.